Yeah. Well, James said last week that everyone's comments picked up pretty well on that mic. So if you just sat somewhere near the center and just kind of held it and just pointed at people, that would probably work as well too. Yeah. So, as you know, the deal with the microphone is that we do have people that listen to the lessons. And since I'm recording with this, this doesn't pick up your comments very well at all. So whenever someone reads or asks a question or answers a question, then to try to get that for the purpose of those listening to the recordings, we need to get you on the mic that Jamie has. So just remember, as you volunteer in whatever way, that just kind of speak up and Jamie will just kind of point the mic toward that direction, whoever's speaking, and that'll help out. So the other way, you know, we've done is with when John brings his mics from home, he has those omnidirectional mics we can put right in the center. That works real well. But without that today, he's still out of town. So just a little update on that. I didn't hear the very latest on John with his mother, but she had fallen, you know, the week before last and had surgery for her hip and I think a wrist or arm or something. And that the surgery had gone well, so John and Jan had gone down there to spend the weekend with his mother last weekend. This weekend, he's at Grove City College there with Stephen, because Stephen was taking part in a film that's being debuted and reviewed this weekend. So that's where John is now. So here we are again. We're going to talk about the apostles' teaching on prayer, primarily Paul's teaching, part two. So did everyone get a study guide? It's the same one you had last week, if you brought that, or if not, we have a few more on the chair here. So be sure everybody picks one up. And that one here, I think that one there, yeah, the second page didn't get. Okay. Let's begin with prayer, and then we'll start. Father, we thank you for this time to be together before your presence and with one another as we open your word. We thank you for the hour of worship this morning and for the declaration of the gospel as we heard from the pulpit, for being reminded that the power of God, your power is shown to us, power of salvation is revealed to us in the gospel, that the righteous man will live by faith. And we thank you for that truth. We thank you for the glorious gift that you've given us to come into your presence, to come before you as we pray. And we ask you today, as we open your word and study about prayer, that you'd teach us to be men and women of constant prayer before your face, walking in your presence and learning how to live our lives before you, really enjoying your presence and being effective at coming to you in prayer and petition. We ask you to guide and direct our time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to continue with the study guide, like I said, is the same. And so some of them, it just says apostles' teaching and prayer. I think I just put a number three. So it's parts two and three together in the same sheet, as you remember. But for our introduction this time, I want to look in the book of Acts. So if you can grab a Bible, there should be one under your chair if you don't have your own copy. But this is the way I wanted to introduce today's study is to look at an example of the early church praying. And we can see the way in which their prayers and their handling of Scripture, or the use of Scripture in their prayers. That's in particular what I wanted to pick up. So I wanted to start in Acts chapter 4. This follows our reading today. We were reading in the beginning of Acts today in our worship. So I wanted to start in chapter 4, verse 23, and just read this prayer. So the context of chapter 4 is that they had been arrested and brought before the council. The council had warned them to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. They beat them, gave them this warning, and dismissed them. Okay, so they were just told, You may not preach any longer in the name of Jesus. You may no longer proclaim his name. And so this was their prayer as they came back to the assembly of some of the believers together. This is what happened. So I want to read this. And so look in particular for the patterns of prayer that we've been talking about, as we talked about adoration, confession, praise, thanksgiving, supplication, petition, and affirmation. Those different, that may not be all the right order, but those are the different patterns of prayer we've talked about. So look for those things as we read this in Acts 4, 23 through what? 31. Okay. And when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. All right. Wow. That's a prayer. You know, you pray and then the whole place is shaken after you pray. That was God showing them, I think, that, you know, this isn't going to be a problem. They told you not to preach anymore, so they prayed. So what do you see in this prayer? What are the different patterns that you see? Just a few volunteers. Okay, adoration.
Lord, you created everything and everything that's in everything.
Right off the bat, it's acknowledging who God is, praising him for his sovereignty, for the creation of all things. So that's adoration and praise. Okay, what else do we see? Well, what was their petition? They were praying for something. Where was that? What did they actually ask God and pray for?
Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness.
Right, in verse 29. Okay, so grant your servants to speak with all boldness. And how long did it take God to answer that prayer? It just says right away. The place was shaken, and they went out and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Okay, so that's exactly what they prayed for, and it's what God did. He gave them the boldness to continue. Remember, they had just been threatened by those who were their authorities. The chief priests were the rulers of Israel. They were the leading Jewish leaders, whom as Jews, they were their, you know, authority in the Jewish faith would have been from these men, the high priests in the council. And they had just told them no longer to preach in the name of Jesus. And of course, their answer was, you know, we cannot stop speaking that which we have seen and heard. And I don't remember if it was this passage, but at one point they said, you know, whether or not we should obey God or you, you be the judge. You know, because God had commanded them to preach in the name of Jesus. So that was there. So they came to him in prayer. So the thing that I was taken with, and I think we should learn from, is verses 25 and 26. So right at the beginning, as they praise God for who he is, that he's the creator of all, and then they're saying to the Lord, they're saying, who through the mouth of our father David, by the Holy Spirit, they say, why do the Gentiles rage, the people's plot in vain, and so forth. So they have scripture. They've memorized the scripture, unless they just rolled out a scroll right in front of them. Probably not. This is probably from memory. And so they bring the scripture into their prayer before God to say, God, this is what we learn from our father David, that the Gentiles rage, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against this Christ. So they're reminding God of what they've learned in Scripture, and it's reminding themselves that this is a truth, that God had said the Gentiles will rage against the Lord. And what's the outcome of that psalm? Does some of you recall what's God's response when people raise up their fist and say we're going to shake off God's chains from around us? He laughs. The Lord sits in the temple and laughs. It's like, ha ha, really? You're going to shake off the chains of God? You know, and they said, we're going to set up our king. We're going to have another king in Psalms 2. And God says, I've installed my king on my holy mountain, and he is the Lord Christ. You know, that is the king. Yeah, Butch. Right.
Credibility and honor to God's word.
Right. Yeah, thank you for that. That's just what I was thinking, something like along that line too, is that God gives us his word. So as we use his word in our prayers, then for one thing, we know we're praying according to his will if we're praying his word, because this is what he has given us to pray. And we're also, it's a way of adoring, it's an honoring him by praying back to him what he's shown to us. So I think that's really, really good. So I just wanted to see that. The other thing is that it does, as we have prayer scripture in front of us when we pray, it reminds us of those truths of God. You know, they needed to be reminded that God already has seen this before. He's seen the fact that people raise up themselves against the Lord. You know, this isn't like a surprise to God. And for us to be reminded that the difficulty and the trouble in our lives is not a surprise to God, it really helps to ensure us that he is able to deliver us and deal with it. Yeah, Nick.
This also makes me think of the verse, and I don't remember which one it is, but that God's word is living and active. And, you know, we see that, you know, the place was shaken, you know, that God's word is real, it's alive.
Yeah.
We have such power when we recite his word and, you know, we dwell on it, we think on it.
Yeah, thank you. That's good, too. Yeah, and I was, let's go on. That's good. Thanks for that comment. That's the reason why we're we're doing this, of course, of studying prayer in the Scripture. And this section on the Apostles' Prayer is basically we're going through aspects of teaching, what the apostles have taught us about how to pray. And, of course, that then gives us the instruction, and it gives us the word. So one thing I would suggest, I'll say this now instead of closing because I may forget it, but keep this lesson plan here because it's just a bunch of verses on prayer. You know, keep it with you with your Bible for a period of time, and as you come to pray in your daily devotion and so forth, you can just pull this out and look at a couple of these verses if you don't already have them memorized. And some of these are very familiar. You probably do have many of these verses memorized, but the ones you don't, keep them in front of you, and these are things you can pray for your family, your friends, for those that you work with in your neighborhood, the leadership in the church, and the work that God's doing in the church, any of these verses that apply as you come to God in prayer, you can just pray these things. So that's what we want to learn from this, okay? Okay, so last time we got through, I think, if my notes are correct, Ephesians 3:20, we were just talking about that thought that that God is able to do more abundantly beyond what we ask or think, according to the power that works mightily within us, okay? So I drew a line there where we'll start with lesson 8, and that would be today with Romans 7. So let's go ahead and, like we did last time, just kind of go around the room, read a verse, and if you have any immediate thoughts on what God is teaching us in that verse, then just share that, or we'll just take a point of discussion for a minute or so on each one, and then we'll just continue to move through these. Okay, so I'm going to pick on Jamie because he has the mic. Mm-hmm. To start with the first one at Romans 7. So just that verse, and then there's a question there.
Romans 7, 24 to 25. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, so thoughts on what are things we see taught here? At least a couple things.
Recognition of who he is. Recognition of how he is or who he is.
Right, yeah, recognition and, Janice, confession. It's, I'm wretched man that I am. Okay, so you see that in prayer. And what's the other thing? Yeah, thanksgiving. Yeah, so there's really three things here. There's acknowledgement that I'm a wretched man. Who will set me free from the body of this death? I mean, that's like a petition. It's like, God, who will deliver me? Of course, this is a reminder from Romans, and thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. That's our deliverance from the sin, the wretchedness that's still within us. And so to get context of that, of course, and go back and look at Romans 7, as he was talking about the struggle of the flesh and the spirit in living our Christian life through that. So there's, again, another passage just to remember. You can just refer to this as you're studying, as you're doing your quiet times, and then just keep this with you as you pray. Okay, let's go on around. Next verse then in 2 Corinthians 2. So, Lindsay, you want to take that one?
Thessalonians,
sorry.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word.
Okay. All right, so what are the things we see? The things that are petitions or prayers here in this one. Mm-hmm. Affirmation, yeah, in many ways, right, because we're affirming God has loved us, he's given us eternal comfort, he's given us hope, so there's really an affirmation of what God has done. So then what is his, this is almost like a benediction in here, so it's not as much a direct prayer, but what is he asking that God would do then in verse 17? Comfort and strengthen our hearts in what? Yeah. Right. What he's given us to do, which is every good work and word. Okay. The things we do, the things we say. Okay. So again, right here, it's just some very specific things to pray for someone as we take this before God. Okay. Let's go on.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. Interesting that he's asking to comfort and strengthen your heart in works and words, which,
right. What were you thinking specifically? How that applies?
Praying, not just that they'll do good works, but that their heart would be strengthened in doing the works.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's not just, Lord, give us ability to do good works.
Right.
Or to speak good words.
Right.
But to do it from the heart. Mm-hmm. Comfort and strength. I see your point. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Let's go on around. Joe?
This I pray, that your love may abound still more in real knowledge and all discernment.
Let's just take that one. Right. So what do we see there? Well, go ahead. Read Colossians also.
Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.
Okay. Let's stop there, because Colossians 1:9. I want to handle it differently. So let's, those two then, what do we see there? Philippians 1:9 and Colossians 1:3. Okay, there's thanksgiving again. In Colossians 1, we thank God and pray always for you. We saw that last time, the idea of thanksgiving and of always making mention of you in your prayers. Remember, there are several verses last time we talked about that. So it's just keeping people before God as we pray for others, as we think about them, we just bring them before the Lord. Okay. Anything else on Philippians 1 here? What is he praying that will, what will be true about the believers? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that the love would abound in what two things? The love will abound in what? Knowledge and discernment. Okay. All right. So again, you could be very specific in your prayer. Just instead of just praying, God, bless this person, bless that person. There's something specific you can pray. God, that their love would grow in knowledge. And then as you pray that, you can think of that, what that actually means. There may be some knowledge, something you've learned that you could share with them, and that it could increase their knowledge about God's love. Or the sense of discernment is really judgment, being wise in making decisions according to God's word. And so, again, as we pray these things for one another, it helps us to learn of these things as well. You know, so you're praying that someone else's love would grow in all discernment. I'm reminded that God wants me to be discerning, to have good judgment, to be wise in my love, and that love comes from that. So, okay, Colossians 1. I want to expand this. We had just verse 9. I wanted to read 9 down through 14 in Colossians. So again, if you can open your Bibles, we didn't put all the verses here, but just because there's some tremendous things to pray at the end of this, I'll say paragraph from 9 through 14. So, okay, 9, Colossians 1, 9 to 14. Okay. Well, you see why I wanted to read all that? It's tremendous. Okay. So there's several prayers there. What are some of the things, just specific verses and phrases or thoughts that you pray for one another? What are some that you hear there, as we read that? Okay. Anybody, just... spell them out. What are some specific prayers? Just certain phrases, things you could pray for someone. Just phrases that you see in this. Okay, that's one. You pray for some others to be filled with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. What's another one?
Live a worthy life, or a life worthy of the Lord.
Right. To live a life that's pleasing, worthy, to walk with Him in a way that's pleasing to Him. What's another one? Bear fruit. Okay, we pray for one another to bear fruit. Remember, Paul, this is the church. I think this is the church that Paul did not found. I'm not sure if he actually visited this church, but it was founded by, I think it was Epaphras, is our thought. So that was one of the men that Paul had trained. So this was like a grandchild church, so to speak. You know, someone that another believer was actually the apostle who came here. So Paul is, again, encouraging them with these things, that they would walk in this way, that they'd grow in wisdom, they please him, and so forth. So these are things that we can pray for one another. Okay. Any other thoughts, any other specific things? Right, to grow in the knowledge of God, right?
Endurance and patience.
Okay.
And joy.
All of that, endurance and patience and joy. Okay. And then we're reminded, so we can, the last at the end there, 13 and 14. Some of you that have prayed with me more often than others, you know, this is something in my prayer. I memorized this a long time ago. I very often remember this and recite this in prayer as I'm praising God, that He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have an inheritance. And that phrase is in my mind often when I'm in prayer, that I've been delivered from the domain of darkness. He's transferred me, another translation, or it's right here, transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His Son. So we're just reminded of that again as we hear in the sermons, as we're reminded from Easter, you know, that Jesus is our King, that we're in His kingdom, that that's really the dominion of our lives, is living in the kingdom of God. You know, we're under His reign and His rule. And so I'm reminded of, I've been given life, I've been pulled out of a domain of darkness into a kingdom of light. So just, those are things we pray for one another and remember as we pray. You know, so that's where I wanted to focus on that one. Okay, let's go on then. Any other thoughts? There's some more in there, but you can dig them out. Remember, just keep this in front of you. Do this week as you have quiet time sometime. Just pull this passage up and literally pray through it as you have your time of devotion. Pray either for someone specifically or just pray these things for yourself, your spouse, or one of your children or your parents. You know, pray these things as you go through. Okay. Colossians 4:3. Let's go on. Janice, you want to take that one?
Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned.
Okay. So, this is a prayer. How many times have you prayed with someone, or have you prayed, God, open a door for something to happen? Is that familiar? A familiar prayer, you've often prayed that, God, allow this to happen, or make a way, open a door for this. So I don't know if that comes from this verse in particular, but this is where, you know, this is what the Apostle Paul was saying. When you pray for us, pray this. Pray this for us, that God will open a door for the word. Okay? So who could we pray this for in particular? Specific people you could pray this for. It'd be for unbelievers. God. Unbelieving family members, that God would open a door, make it possible to be able to share with them. What are some others? Paul said, pray for us as well. Who is us? So who would that be in our day and age?
Missionaries.
Yeah, exactly. The ones that we support in particular, because this would be, Paul was essentially a missionary going from church to church around the region, declaring the gospel and building them up. Okay? Who else could this be for in addition to missionaries? That would be like Paul. Pastor. Exactly. Any of our church leaders, pastors, elders, evangelists, and those that God has gifted and has given particular ministry to share the word. But I think it's true also that we take this, that for our own family members, neighbors, co-workers, that God would open a door for the word. Okay? Okay, so the specific prayer, open a door so we can speak forth the mystery. And then if we look in the next verse, I guess that wasn't written down there, but let me just read it. If you have it right there, this is 4:4. If we continuing, he says to pray that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Okay, so that's the continuation of this passage, so that we open a door for the word, speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've been imprisoned, so that I may make it clear how to speak. I think that's a tremendous prayer. Again, as you pray for opportunities to share the word, and if you're praying for someone else that you know is going to be sharing the gospel with someone, that pray that as they share the gospel that they would make it clear. Okay, Butch, thought?
Thinking about Paul, it's a little bit of an aside in a way, but Paul described himself Ephesians or Colossians as an ambassador in chains. And you think about Paul and him being bold and being bold to speak the word, even in prison. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been chained to Paul? He would have been bathed in the scripture all day long.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, Paul was bold to speak the word. I mean, he was this ambassador in chains, but he was always speaking the word. And we should be more like that, you know, being bold to speak that word. And if someone were chained to us, what would they see? And
yeah.
Would they be bathed in the gospel? And would they see us being bold to share the word of God?
Yeah.
Yeah,
when we were studying Philippians, remember we went back and looked at the experience of Paul at Philippi, his first public preaching there at one point, when he first went there, and that he was arrested, he was beaten, arrested, and locked in stocks, in chains, in stocks, in a dungeon, they said, like in the inner prison. So he was as secure as anybody could get. And what does it say, remember, about him and his companion who was with him? About midnight, they were singing praise to God, you know, and there was an earthquake, and the doors all opened, and their chains fell off, you know. So, yeah, it's very true. Yeah, yeah. And then you remember there, the one that was in chains, that was in bondage, was the jailer. You know, he took his sword to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners were escaped. He was so afraid, you know, that he had failed in his duty. He was just going to take his own life. And so Paul urged him not to do that, declared the gospel, and then he was saved. And later that night, they went and baptized his whole household in the middle of the night because they were back in prison the next morning, you know, waiting for the authorities to release them. So, yeah, he never ceased to pray and praise and to speak the gospel that was on his heart. So this is a prayer, you know, open the door of opportunity that he will make it clear. And the other one, just write this one in on your notes there, because again, it's a thought that I had after, these were John's notes, but I would put in Ephesians 6 and verses 18 and 19. Let me just read those. And 20, this was the verse Butch was just referring to, Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and petition to that end, to keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, so here's Paul. We're just talking about that, the fact that he declared the gospel everywhere he went, but he always asked people to pray for him to be declaring the gospel wherever he went, that he may speak boldly. Okay, so Ephesians 4:4 was prayer that I may make it clear how I ought to speak. Ephesians 6:19 and 20, that I may be bold when I speak. And so again, those are two of the phrases that became part of my prayers a long time ago, just because it's so short. And as you pray for someone, again, when you know they're engaged in sharing the gospel, and or that someone are going out or yourself going out, these are prayers. Make it clear, make it bold, to be bold in praying it. Okay, we're almost at the end of our time. We have a couple more verses. Let's just go on. We're right there in Colossians. If you haven't flipped your page there, in Colossians 4, 12. Let's go back to Greg back there.
4:12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God.
Okay. Wow. How would you like that to be the way someone describes you? That the way you're described is you're always laboring earnestly for others in prayer. I just think it's a tremendous tribute, you know, that's what he would say about Epaphras. always laboring earnestly. What are the things that Epaphras prays? Two things. Okay? Anyone?
You may stand perfect and fully assured in God's will.
Okay. Again, remember, we're just kind of arming ourselves with things that we can remember to be praying for others. So this would be his prayer, that you'd stand perfect in the will of God, and you'd stand fully assured in the will of God. The things that we can pray for one another. Okay, let me just hit a couple of these as we close, and just to draw to your mind so we don't go over our time here. But 1 Thessalonians 3:10, at night and day we keep praying earnestly that we may see our faith and may complete what is lacking in your faith. So there's another request, that as you pray for others, anything that's lacking in their faith, anything that someone has not been able to grasp yet, that they're really struggling to believe, pray this, that God would complete what is lacking. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Again, that's like we saw in Colossians 4. Us would be evangelists, pastors, teachers, those that are laboring among us as leaders. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, to this end also we pray for you always, that God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and the work of faith with power. Okay? So here, what do we learn here about how often to be praying? Always, always. That's just like 2 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Okay, so prayer is, again, there's a place that God wants us to have, as we've talked about earlier, that we have that quiet place, that we're devoted to prayer, that we spend time alone with him, so we kind of stop the madness and the tension and the confusion that's all around us, and just pull aside to a quiet place and have that time alone with God. There's that sense of our prayer that's very important, so that we have time to listen to him as he speaks back to us. And in prayer, always have your Bible as you pray. And that's, I think, what I hope you're getting that from this lesson, is that you have your Bible in front of you so that you have these verses to pray for others. But while it's there, and as you read through, then God, through his word, then speaks back to you. And that's how we get that other communication. But this is then the other sense of our prayer, is that we're praying always, praying without ceasing, continually. So those little, what they call them, pocket prayers, someone's saying like that idea. Okay, so the 2 Thessalonians 1:11, praying always, okay, that God count you worthy of your calling, and then with every goodness, or that your desire for goodness and work of faith. Okay, a couple other things. Just to close, 2 Thessalonians 3, again, pray for us that the word would spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did among you. Okay. So, what happens when God's word is these two things, spreads rapidly and is glorified? What happens there? What happened in Thessalonica? And if you recall from reading the book of Acts and the history of Thessalonica, he was there 3 weeks, and that's all. He was only there 3 weeks, and then he was driven out of town. But he writes back to them later on about the tremendous impact that they've had on the entire region around them. You know, that the way the gospel continued to spread from them after he had been there only 3 weeks. And so the word of God, as they had received it, and as they had grown with the word in just those few weeks, that it continued to grow rapidly, and that they became a very effective church in spreading the gospel. So that was the impact, because, and here's the prayer here, that, and again, this is a good prayer, pray for that sense of honor for God's word, as we talked about earlier, that God's word would spread rapidly, and it would be glorified. Okay, so then another reference to write down here is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Okay, and let me just read that. And again, this is the beginning of his first letter in chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in those who believe. Okay? So just jot that down. You can refer back to that later. But that's the impact of God's word. They received it as what it really is, not the word of men, but the word of God. Receiving it that way, it said it performs its work in those who believe. Okay, so these are good prayers. Pray for God's word to be glorified, to be honored, to be received as it really is, as the word of God. Okay. All right, and then 2 Timothy 1:3, thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you. Again, you see that 1 Timothy 5:5, continue entreaties and prayers night and day. You see this reminder here. Night and day, constantly remembering. And then in Philemon, there are two verses there. 1:6, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing that's in you for Christ's sake. And then verse 22, Philippians 1:22. Prepare a lodging for me that I hope through your prayers that I will be given to you. I think we saw that another time earlier, one of the other passages. We saw how God was delivered through your prayers. And here he's praying this again. So again, that God's prayer has an impact. It has an impact, obviously, on our lives and on those that we pray for and on those that we pray with. So I think we'll just close. Any other comments or thoughts? I just kind of blasted through those just so we'd have a minute to take a look at them, but remember to keep them with you as you pray. Any other comments? Okay. All right. Well, let's just close. Father, we thank you again for the reminder that you call us to come into your presence to pray. Thank you for the privilege to be before your throne as we have access to you through the gift of righteousness that Christ has given us, as his blood cleansed us from sin and made us able to stand before you and made us pure before your sight, as we stand in his righteousness. And we ask you to equip us with these verses, Lord, as we remember to have them in front of us as we pray, and that we would learn more and more about how to pray effectively by praying with your word. And we thank you again for the Holy Spirit you've given us to bring to our remembrance what you've taught us and to guide us as we pray and direct us, we pray. Then in the name of Jesus, amen.